tonight, verse 6 and 7, and I want to talk to you about the spirit that is within you tonight. And you can tell a lot about a Christian by how they're treating the Holy Spirit. You can tell if they're angry. You can tell if they're bitter. You can tell just when they open their mouth what kind of how they're treating the Holy Spirit inside of them. Because the way they let it come out, it will come out the way the Spirit's living inside of them. And tonight, if you can quench, you can grieve, you can stir, you can do a lot of things with the Holy Spirit tonight because He is a person tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 6. And the Bible says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And let us pray. Father, I do love you and I do thank you for this night. Lord, we've come from a funeral today into a worship service. And Lord, you're just everywhere, Father. It doesn't matter if it's at Ott's Funeral Home. It doesn't matter if it's at Wofford Cemetery. And it doesn't matter if it's at Union Chapel Baptist Church. That Holy Spirit is everywhere I go because He lives inside of me. And Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you for that. No matter if we're in a nominating committee meeting, no matter if we're in a building committee meeting, that Holy Spirit is alive and well, Father, and doing well and doing good in my life. And I thank you for that. I thank you that He has total control tonight of my life. I thank you tonight, even when I don't understand, there is Jesus. Even when I can't see Him, there is Jesus always showing up and always showing out in my life. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. Be with all the prayer requests. Lord, I pray you touch them tonight. I pray you bless them tonight. Lord, I pray that we're fixing to enter into Thanksgiving season. And please, Father, give everybody a good week next week. Keep the old devourer away from our families. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, we're going to keep doing the young convert class. So what I want to do is tonight, I want to talk for the next few weeks about the spirit that is within you and the spirit that is within me. The key verse to memorize, of course, is 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. And memorize means to know, to learn, and to keep forever. Paul used the word remembrance. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, he uses the word remembrance on three different occasions in a very short span. He wanted young Timothy to remember that the Holy Spirit was living inside of him. He wanted him to know that. To remember means don't forget. The Holy Spirit, listen to this tonight, if you don't remember nothing else, especially in a Baptist church, okay? I'm a Baptist minister. I'm in a Baptist church, but in a Baptist church especially, the Holy Spirit is the most mistreated person in the building. You say, well, I've been to that church and I've been mistreated. I promise you there's not nobody ever walked through them doors been mistreated more than the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you not one person's ever visited, become a member, or did any set thing inside these four walls that has been mistreated more than the Holy Spirit of heaven. And tonight, that Holy Spirit has emotions. You know that tonight. He is a person. The Holy Ghost is a person tonight, and He has emotions just like you and I do. I have emotions. You have emotions. I'm happy sometimes. I cry sometimes. I'm sad sometimes. So the Holy Spirit has emotions tonight, and I want you to get this. So tonight, the Holy Spirit, if He has emotions just like you and I, number one, He can be grieved. He can be quenched, and He can even be stirred up, okay? So tonight, I want to ask you, what are you doing with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you? Are you grieving Him? Are you quenching Him? Or are you stirring Him up? So let's look at tonight at the Holy Spirit, first off, being grieved within a believer tonight, that you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter number 4. And Paul's just trying to tell young Timothy there in the book of Timothy that to stir it up. But I also know that you can grieve him tonight. So I want to look at the Holy Spirit being grieved within a believer. And Ephesians chapter number 4 in verse number 30, the Bible says, "And grieve not." He said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Same person writing. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. And he's telling them, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. There's going to be 5 and 6 different ways that you can grieve the Holy Spirit here. But tonight, I want to take time, and as the weeks go on, we'll go back to every one of these. But tonight, I want to take time with bitterness tonight. Grieving means to sadden, make one sorry, or have a heavy countenance about that individual. But tonight, he says this, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." In verse 31, he says this, and this is the first thing in your life that will grieve the Holy Ghost. And you'll do this before you do any of the others when you grieve the Holy Spirit. And the number one thing that'll grieve the Holy Spirit in a believer's life, and I'm telling you tonight this because I deal with this on a daily basis, weekly basis, yearly basis. I have to keep this under bay. And that is this: let all bitterness be out of your life tonight. And I want to talk to you about bitterness. I want to tell you how you can know if you're bitter. I want you to know this in your life, because bitterness will spring up in your life before you ever know it. You say, I ain't never bitter. Let's just look at it tonight. Bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. Look at your paper tonight. And number one, bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. You say, what is that, preacher? Bitterness means hatred or resentment towards someone. There's times in your life that you can have resentment towards someone. Maybe they done you wrong. Maybe they lied to you. Maybe they just did something. You got a little bitter toward them. You got resentment, or you got hatred in your life toward that person. You say, preacher, I don't have bitterness in my life. Well, let's look at this on your paper. Bitterness will spring up on you. It's like a jack in a box. One minute you can be fine, not be bitter, and all of a sudden that thing will spring right up in your life. It'll be right there in a month. You won't know what to do. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, you've got to watch out for bitterness in your life. You better keep an eye, close eye on bitterness, or you'll be bitter towards somebody and you won't even know it. You'll be bitter, you'll have resentment, you'll have hatred toward them, and it'll fester in your life. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, what does it do? It springs up and it troubles you. So bitterness tonight, it can spring up in your life. You can be doing so good. I'm talking about on a mountaintop, climbing that mountain, and all of a sudden that bitterness will spring up, and what does it do when it springs up on a person? It troubles that person. When that bitterness comes to your life, it troubles that person, and thereby many be defiled. You say, preacher, what will that do? Bitterness will spring up in you. You can be bitter towards somebody if you're not careful. I know in the life that I live in, you can be bitter for somebody for over 20 years, 30 years. You can have bitterness in your life. He said, preacher, you sure about that? Bitterness will spring up on you, but bitterness will also harden your heart. When you got bitterness on the inside tonight, I'm talking about hatred or resentment towards someone, you got to be careful. You got to be very careful of that resentment in your life. Bitterness will harden your heart. Proverbs 14:10, the Bible says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. You know when you're bitter. Your heart knows your own bitterness. Nobody's got to tell you when you're bitter. And most of the time, nobody ain't got to tell you if they are bitter with you. When you get around them, you'll know it. The old saying, we say, they hi-hat you. Huh? You see them out, they won't even speak to you. Act like they don't even know you. Act like you ain't even there. I may just be preaching in the wind tonight. That's bitterness. If you don't know what bitterness is, when you got an acquaintance and you meet them out on the street and they hi-hat you, don't want nothing to do with you, they bitter. You've done something wrong. Hello? Bitterness will spring up in you. It'll just come up. It'll just try to take over. Bitterness will harden your heart. And as a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. But bitterness will also cause strife in your heart. Not only will it spring up, not only will it harden your heart, but bitterness will cause strife in your heart. Look what the Bible says in James 3:14-16. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So where bitterness is, it's going to produce confusion. You're not going to be able to understand. And you know what tonight? God's not the author of confusion. If there's confusion in your life and you can't get it under control and you don't know where it's coming from, tonight it's not of God, it's of Satan. God's not here to confuse you. He's here to lead you and guide you. So tonight, bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit, we see in the Bible, and it means hatred or resentment. But how do you know if you're becoming bitter? How do you know if you're becoming bitter? I'll never forget, and I ain't got long to share, but I'm going to share tonight. I'll never forget, I got saved, and me and old boy had an alt, Brother Eric, and I done told him, I said, I see I'm going to beat the tar out of it. Well, I didn't say that. I used some more words I can't use back here. I was mad at that feller, and I was just upset at that feller so bad. And I went with the men to the other church that I was at. I went with the men to the jail ministry. And me and Brother Junior Guyton and Brother Larry Lamb, we went to jail ministry. There I was with two men. We get down there and we do the jail ministry and people get saved and we leave coming back from the jail. And I get to Max Minute, Martin Vernon. And that guy knows what I've done told him. Man, I've been bitter for years against him. Bitter, envious. Just didn't want nothing to do with him. Bitter at him. And I'd forgot about it, but he hadn't forgot about it. And when I walked into Max Minute, Martin, me and them older two men walked in there together, there he was. And we made eye contact. And the only thing that was between he and I was the cooler door. That was the only thing there. And the only thing, he didn't know I'd been saved. He didn't know I'd had received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The only thing he knew is what I told him prior to that incident. But prior to what I knew, and when I seen him, he had that door. Well, I tried to go around the door to talk to him. He put that door in between us. Why? Because all he knew is how I used to be bitter, and I used to have that in my life. And I finally told him, I won't call his name. You'd all probably know him. I told him, I said, look, man, that's over with. That's covered in the blood of Jesus. Come around here and let me hug your neck. Son, he didn't want to close that door. You hear me? He eased that door too, man. I hugged him up, loved on him, and we walked out of the store. You say, preacher, but what is the first thing when you seen him? I remembered that bitterness. I remembered that bitterness. I remember that word. So did I. How do you know if you become bitter? Number one, you refuse to forgive a person. If you say, I will not forgive them, you're bitter. The number one way you know you're bitter, anybody in your life, I don't care if they've done me wrong. Who ain't done you wrong? I ain't forgiving them. You're bitter. There ain't no way. I'd soon die and go to my grave before I forgive them. You're bitter. You'll die with bitterness. Look what he says. How do I know if I am becoming bitter? Number one, I refuse to forgive a person. A person that has wronged me, I refuse to forgive them. Folks, how can we not forgive when our Heavenly Father forgave us all? Number one, that grudge that you're holding and you won't forgive. Number two, you are easily offended. When everything, every day of your life, something offends you, you're bitter. If every text comes to your phone, every phone call comes to your phone, everything you hear that it offends you and you see something wrong with it, you're bitter. You need to do a health check on you. I had to do a health check on my life. You're bitter. You become bitter at certain situations. Refusing to forgive a person. You're easily offended. And I didn't write this on paper, but I'm going to put it in front of it. You like to hold a grudge. You know there's some people likes to hold a grudge. They can't forget it. 10 years later, they still bring it up. 20 years later, they still bring it up. You refuse to let it go. And right here is how, man, when I started writing this down, the Lord spoke to me, and I know this in my life, and I hate to admit it, but I'm going to because I want to be a true pastor. I don't want to be a fake one. I want to be a true one. I want to be one to tell you that I love everybody, and everybody gets along with me, and I get along with everybody, and we just so happy. That's a lie. Amen, Brandy. And I have to work on this. I'm telling y'all, I'm a hothead. I don't like to be. I don't like to be. And my mama says it's a Stanford in me, but I don't think it is. It is, okay. But I don't like, Brother Heath, I don't like being that way. When you hear, listen to this, and this is going to strike a chord because it struck me when I wrote it down. When you hear that person's name, and it instantly strikes a chord with you. I mean, you're having a good day. Everything is great. Sun is shining. Tulips is blooming. Everything's good. And you walk up to a crowd, and they bring up somebody's name that you're bitter with and you got an ought with. And instead of praying for them and loving them, it strikes a chord in you, and you don't want to hear nothing about it. I've walked up in crowds before and mentioned a name, and I knew I done struck a chord. I shouldn't have said that name in that crowd. Uh-oh. Am I telling the truth to anybody? That's bitterness. If everything's going good and you hear that person's name and all of a sudden it gets all over you and under your skin and you get the grit in your teeth, you need to forgive that person. You say, preacher, you don't know what they done to me. Can't help what they done. They ain't losing a bit of sleep over it. You are. They laying down at night, don't even know nothing's wrong. But it's inside of you. Bitterness tonight will destroy the inside of you. It will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let me show you this tonight as we move on. The Holy Spirit tonight, when you refuse to forgive, you become bitter and it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. I told you tonight, bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. I told you tonight how to know if you're becoming bitter. You refuse to forgive a person. You're easily offended. You hold a grudge. And when you hear a person's name, it instantly strikes a chord. But how to keep from becoming bitter or keep it under control? Number one, you're going to have to forgive your offender. You got to forgive the person that offended you. I want to ask you a question. Now, who all in here has been offended before in their life? We got a lot of honest folks, and the rest of them, it's coming tomorrow, trust me. You've been offended. If everybody got offended left this church, you might as well block the walls up and be done with it because there wouldn't be nobody here. Kevin McDowell, you ever been offended? I guarantee you have. Brother Brad, have you ever been offended? Yeah, I've been offended bad. I've been offended bad. But I choose to forgive them. What do you do, preacher? They number one on prayer list. Not that they need prayer. Then I need to get over it. And I need to pray. I need to pray. And when you say, well, I'm not praying for them, you're bitter. If that name's on your tongue and you know to pray for them, you say, I ain't praying for them. Let them get what they deserve. Hey, I see people shaking their head. Hey, that's life. You get offended hard enough and deep enough, you get cut bad enough, that'd be your attitude. But the Bible says, forgive your offender. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Husbands, listen to me tonight. If you want something to hinder your walk with Christ, that one sitting beside you will hinder it quicker than anything. The one you love, the one you said, Brother Jerry, you didn't know what I was talking about tonight. You done got on it up here. For better, for worse, for richer, for poor, till death do us part. You make sure tonight, if you're a husband, you don't get bitter or stay bitter at your wife. You can't be bitter toward her and have the relationship you need with Christ Jesus. How you treat your wife is a direct reflection of how you treat the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. I'm telling you tonight. The Bible says, husbands, we must be very careful. Bitterness, if anything can get into a marriage, bitterness will. Colossians 3:19, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives and be not what? Bitter against them. Why? Because if we have become one, and no longer are we separate, but we become one at marriage. We become one. Okay? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Ephesians. Love her. If we've become one, and I'm bitter to her, I'm not only hurting her, but I'm hurting me. Folks, tonight, I believe that is direct reflection of how I treat my wife is how I treat the Holy Spirit of God, how I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If my relationship with her is not where it needs to be, my relationship with him will not be where it needs to be. There's been times, man, I hate to say this, but I'm going to be honest, I've had to eat humble pie. And most of the time, you know whose fault it is? Mine. And most of the time, you know what we say we ain't going to do? Is go to where she's at and make it right. But guess what we got to do if we want to keep that bitterness under control? We got to go to them. Let me move on here. Bitterness, what grieves the Holy Spirit more than anything I believe, truly believe in my spirit, is bitterness. So how do I keep from being bitter? Number one, I forgive my offender. Number two, I'm careful with my spouse. I'm careful what somebody else has put on me that I don't go home to her and rail on her and bring things against her and talk about her, talk down to her, belittle her. I don't know why I'm on that tonight, but I'm on it. I want to treat her right. And I must stay in the Word of God. If you want to keep from being bitter, you stay in that book. Here's what it says, Psalm 119:165. Great peace. You're only going to have great peace from the Word of God. He said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You stay in that book, you won't be easily offended. You won't. It won't come so easy. It won't bother you as bad because you stick with the book. But let me give you this tonight. If I'm going to quit being offended so bad and get bitterness out of my life, I must do what Jesus said do. And it's hard. It's hard turning the other cheek. It's hard once you've turned it and you've turned it and you've turned it. It's hard. But look what he says. Do what Jesus said. Luke 6, 27 and 28. The Bible says, but I say unto you which hear, and we all hear tonight. Faith cometh by hearing, not heard. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. None of us has arrived yet. We're all still in dressing room mode, getting ready. Do what Jesus said, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. That's a mouthful, ain't it? But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And here goes right back to what I said a while ago. And pray for them which despitefully use you. He said, preacher, I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, you're bitter. You're bitter. And I'm telling you what, when I started doing this lesson, going through it, this was not part of it. But as I got studying it, I wish somebody would have told me that the Holy Ghost was not only my comforter, but he lived inside of me when I first got saved. I wish somebody would have told me that he comes and he dwells inside of me. He doesn't leave. He doesn't go out and come in. He doesn't go on. He doesn't take a sabbatical. He doesn't do them things. He lives inside of me, and I can grieve him. I can quench him, and that's going to come on down the line. I can grieve him. I can quench him, and I can also stir him. And tonight, it depends on what I want to do. I told y'all my eye was Sunday. Well, Monday, I told Brandy, I said, I'm going to go to the eye doctor, make sure everything's good. And man, that thing went in there, and they looked at it, and had a film done growing over that scratch. Man, you can see it up in there. And as I went to get my drops to put in there, I went, and they said, you need to talk to the pharmacist. I said, what have I got to talk to her about? I said, step over to the side. She'll be there in a minute. I stepped over to the side. People going through. She come over and she said, you ever put eye drops in your eyes before? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you ever put these in there before? I said, nah, I don't know. I don't know what they are. She said, she told me. She said, one thing is very key. I said, what's that? She said, you got to shake it well. I said, huh? You got to shake that bottle. She said, there's two different kind of ointments in that bottle. And you got to shake that bottle well. And if you don't shake that bottle well, you won't get it all. You won't get what you need. You know what I done? I went home, I shook that bottle. Exactly what I need. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. He can be grieved, but he can also be shook up. And he can be stirred. And as we go through these classes, at the end, all I want you to be is to be stirred up in the Holy Spirit. I want to see the Holy Ghost alive in your life. You know what I'm saying? That you stir him up. I believe too many times we grieve him. And then we've got anger. We've got all that we're going to look at next week. But number one, bitter. Get that under control this week. You don't know the name when I said it tonight. It hits you. It hits you. I'm telling you, you got a name in your mind that, man, pray for that person. Pray for that individual. So if I just stay away from them, I'll forget about them. No, you won't. Their name's going to come up. Or you're going to meet them on the street. You're going to hear something, and it's going to stir. Why not get it under control, and you won't have to worry about it? Best way I know how to do it is pray about it. God will touch it, and God will move on it. Because there's a spirit. His name is the Holy Spirit, and he lives inside of you. And he has emotions, just like you and I do. You ever wonder why sometimes you doom and gloom down in the dumps? You got somebody living inside of you. And if you ain't taking care of him, you can't be on top of the mountain all the time. You're going to catch yourself in the valley a bunch of times, especially if you're grieving him. Let us pray. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I thank you tonight that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I thank you tonight, Father, for the move of the Holy Ghost on my life. Lord, I praise you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you that there's times you tell me to do something, and I know it's the Spirit of God prompting me to do it and go and do what you said. Lord, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that's got something bitter in their life, Lord, I pray they would move it. Lord, it'll spring up. It'll spring up. It'll grow. The Bible says it'll grow. It'll spring up. It'll come alive in your life. And it's got to be plucked out. It's got to be removed, Father. I know that. And Lord, there's no better time to move it than tonight. Lord, bless your people. Watch over us as we go through this study on grieving the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we be not found grieving it or quenching it, but we be found stirring up the Spirit of God that's in us. Father, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all God's people say, amen. You are dismissed.